Yeah, I'm sitting together with Gladys Eliason in Lapeer, Michigan. And she was born 26th of August 1905 in Berglund, Michigan. So you were married to a Swede, but you came from a Scotch French background.
Mm-hmm.
How come they settled up in the Norwegian Swedish territory?
Well, my dad followed the lumber camps, or lumber mills. And my mother used to cook.
So then they were living in Berglund, Norway then for a while, or?
Berglund, yeah, we lived up there. We moved down here in 1923.
To Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
And your father got a job at?
Yeah, at Packard Motor.
Packard Motor.
And he worked there until they shut the factory down.
Mm-hmm. And then you met your husband, Gladys, Erik Eliasson, in what year?
Oh, boy.
Oh, you were married once before?
Yeah.
What nationality did he have, the first husband? Was he of...
Well, his name was Pungs, P-U-N-G-S. I don't know if that's German or English, might be a mixture of both, I don't know.
And then he died, your husband then, or?
No, we were divorced.
Oh, I see. And then you met Erik?
Mm-hmm.
And you married him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what year? It was in the 50s, or?
Before then.
Hmm?
It was before then, because Bert was just a little boy.
Well, he was 11.
Mm.
Bert was 11.
How did you meet him, Erik?
Must I tell?
Well, this is the history.
Oh, golly, he was a dental technician.
Your husband?
Yeah. And that's how I met him.
Oh. He made
dentures. He made me. Yeah.
Oh, I see. And you worked in the office then, or?
No. I went there to get teeth.
I see.
Yeah.
And you fell in love?
Yeah.
And you married then?
I looked in his blue eyes, and I guess he looked in my brown eyes.
And that was the first Swede you met?
Uh-huh. I knew a lot of Swedes from up north, you know, but...
You went to school with Swedes up there?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you been in Sweden?
Twice.
Oh.
Twice. Mm.
So he continued with his dental work then, your husband?
Mm-hmm.
All his life?
Well, see, he came over here when he was 27, and he learned his trade here.
Yes.
He worked 2 years for nothing, just to learn it.
As an apprentice?
Mm-hmm. But he was really an artist at his work. I don't care where you would go, there'd always be somebody there, well, oh, I know Erik, he made my dentures for me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So most of the people at that time in the 20s and 30s, they put in dentures then if they had some bad teeth, or mm-hmm. that was the custom. Even even a worker, if he has a meager income, he still like to have a good-looking mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
He had a lot of people that he was satisfying.
He was a singer.
He was a singer. So he belonged to Vasa in Detroit, Erik? From Lodge?
From, mm-hmm.
And you also became a member then after a while?
Well, I joined, but I never got down there to be initiated.
you paid the dues anyhow?
I paid my...
Longs in Flint.
Oh, in the Flint
Lodge?
In Viking?
Yeah.
At the Viking Lodge, yeah. I see. So did you understand now your husband's background in Sweden? He had a lot of... I can see here you have a lot of paintings on your, on the walls.
When we got married, people thought, oh, that'll never last, because Eric was so Swedish.
He was.
And I was all American, you know. So I just went along with the Swedes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
She's the best Swedish cook in the neighborhood.
So people said that, that they didn't give you many months to stay together.
Because we were so different, you know.
How were you, in what way were you different? Just because you were a different background?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about your religion now? Was that Catholic or Protestant?
Well, I guess mine, Eric, I guess was raised
Lutheran.
And I wasn't raised any special one, just Protestant.
Where did you get married?
We got married in the, what do they call those Mormons? Bishops?
Yes.
Would the bishop, Bishop marry us?
Oh, I see. A Mormon bishop?
Mm-hmm. Because Eric's daughter joined the Mormons.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, he was married once before too, Eric?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And the girl lives out in California. The boy lives up in Lansing.
Oh, I see. So what happened then? Did he teach you to cook Swedish, or did you learn from his neighborhood, or...
Well, I just went to work with the Swedes, you know, cooking over at the
Swedish club.
The Swedish club
and, in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And then Eric, he knew a lot about cooking too, you know, so between the two, I got to be pretty good.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
How about now your other lines? I mean, French and Scottish, they have also recipes and...
Yeah, but I never bothered with them.
You never bothered with them?
Mm-mm.
So you became 100% Swedish?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and the marriage, they lasted?
Yeah.
Lasted and lasted.
You know how Swedish she is?
No.
She eats surströmming.
No, I don't.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
Eric and Herm had it over here.
Oh, your husband likes surströmming?
Yes, he likes surströmming.
And he's not even a Swede.
He's not a Swede.
When I was in Sweden, I tried to eat some with boiled potato, and it just wouldn't go down.
We had to have aquavit first.
So you had to excuse yourself that time.
Yeah, and then we had a lot of parties at home. Four of the men would get together, they'd have surströmming dinner at my house, you know, and one of the singers said, oh, well, just wash it and put it in a plastic bag. So he did, but the plastic bag had a hole in it.
Did they send for the surströmming from Sweden then?
Uh-huh.
In kegs?
Yeah. I think it was against the law to...
Yeah.
But
contaminated United States of America. Crazy Swedes.
And you know, one day we had a party out here, well, a dinner. I don't know, but we have 8 or 10 people. And when they opened the surströmming, there was a dog from down at that place coming up the hill, and he got one whiff of that, and boy, he run back home so fast.
We went to the house for 2 days, and Doris and Lyle came up because they thought the septic tank had exploded.
It was that bad?
Yeah, it was that bad.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, when that, I run out of the plastic bag in the refrigerator, oh, I couldn't hardly get the smell out, you know. And Eric had people coming down there for teeth, and it smelled terrible.
So that was when you were living in Detroit then?
Mm-hmm.
So you had your own house then in the,
yes,
on the west or east side, as you can
west.
Detroit? West side.
Uh-huh.
Where did the Swedes live now in Detroit? Was it on the west side or the...
I think they're all over, aren't they?
They're all over.
All over.
There was no special Swedish neighborhood then?
No.
Mm-mm.
They had two Lutheran churches, one on the east side and one on the west side.
And then Baptist Church and the Covenant Church, yes, also. So they were not clanned together like the Italians then?
No, no.
Did they spread it?
And they had a club, and then they all met. They came from all...
A Swedish club?
Yes.
And that the Swedish centers. Club, was that run by all organizations or just one...
No, that was just the one.
Swedish club?
Yeah, the Swedish club, and that was on 7 Mile and...
DeQuinder.
DeQuinder.
DeQuinder and 7 Mile Road. Mm-hmm. And everybody met there, like the engineers and doctors and lawyers and workmen?
No.
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 Who? Was it for the upper class?
No, it was the middle class.
I see.
Now, the upper class belonged to the engineering club, mm-hmm. Jenny Lind.
Jenny Lind.
Oh, Jenny Lind also took in male members?
No, 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 no. Only just women.
Just women. Mm-hmm. So there was a distinct borderline there.
Oh, yeah.
What you should belong to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Is this...
And for some reason or other, the Swedes just don't stick together.
But the Finns are more...
The Finns.
Nationally.
The Finns have got a beautiful club. They have a beautiful club, they have their own cemetery, they have their own church, and the Swedes rent, when they're going to have anything very big, they rent the Finnish club.
So you mean the Swedish club doesn't pull together all levels of people then?
No,
they
just...
The upper crust and the lower?
No, the upper crust, you just can't get any support.
How about the Finns though?
The Finns have got them all.
All of them.
Throughout the whole state of Michigan. But now it's the same way with ARPI. They really have to fight to exist because they're not supported.
Well, your husband, Erik, he came from Dalarna in Mora.
Mm-hmm.
What did he teach you about that place? Were you interested to know more about his background? What was his background? Where did he come from? A farming home or?
No, it was... Well, his sisters... No, it wasn't a farm. One sister worked in a bank and one had a store. And one was a weaving teacher. And what was the other one?
There was just three, wasn't there?
Hmm?
There was just three, wasn't there?
No.
Four.
Oh, one was a cook for the king.
Oh, I see. In Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
What was her name?
Her name was Anna Eliasson. Mm-hmm. And none of them were married.
Oh, I see. They
stayed. Were all old maids.
All the nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the four girls then and the one boy, and there was Erik.
He
was the only boy.
Well, I think he had a brother. But I don't know exactly what happened there. He died at a younger age.
And what was the reason he left now for the United States, Erik?
Opportunity, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And one of his sisters was the first... Kranskulla of Vasaloppet.
Mm-hmm. Her name was Tris.
Tris Eliasson.
Tris.
And that was back in 1920s then?
Oh, yeah, it was... I don't know how many years it was, but...
But he was home then, Erik, when it happened?
Yeah, when it first happened.
Mm-hmm. Was he a skier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he died on his skis.
How did that happen?
We had a bad snowstorm here, and he sat in that window out there and he said, I hope we get snowed in. And we did.
Why did he hope for that?
He just liked it, you know, to see
snow.
The snow. And so we waited a couple days, and I think it was about the third day why it started to soften up a little bit, and he thought, well, he'd ski uptown because I think the road was closed or something.
Yeah. He wanted the letters about the Vasalopet from Sweden.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah, he
the
was
paper.
Waiting.
Well, he was waiting for the result.
Yeah, yeah, that was it.
His sister would write them to him.
Mm-hmm. And send him the paper.
And he made it up there to the post office, but he didn't make it back.
So he died?
He died right on his skis.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Did he receive the message from Sweden about the Vasaloppet?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
She presented the crown to every queen every year.
Mm-hmm.
At Vasalopet.
His sister.
His sister, Therese. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see any Vasalop?
No.
He never went back for in the wintertime?
No.
So he never saw the Vasalopet after he came here to the United States?
He would never have gone back, but I pushed him.
To visit Sweden?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you did that?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I thought I'd kind of like to go over there, you know.
You were curious to find out what.
Mm-hmm.
So you spent some time then with his sisters in their home?
Yeah.
They had a big home, I understand. I saw in the album there. And you went back then what year, first time?
I think it was 67. 1967.
And you stayed for a few weeks then?
5 weeks.
5 weeks.
I got awful tired of hearing Swedish when I couldn't understand it.
You couldn't understand a thing?
No.
So he had to translate them to you and...
Yeah.
And over there.
Well, and a lot of it he didn't think it would interest me, so he didn't bother.
So you get tired of it?
I got awfully tired of it.
But still, you went back a second time?
Yeah. I went back after the year after Eric died.
Well, alone?
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing one Swedish word?
Yeah.
How did that work out?
Well, he had a cousin by marriage that lived in Stockholm, and she spoke English.
Tally?
Tally. She was Dutch, I think, but she spoke Swedish. Yeah, I was with her about 4 weeks, and I stayed with the sisters 1 week.
Mm-hmm. But there was no way to communicate with them.
No.
They were here.
And every place, well, every day we were there, they had something arranged for us, you know. And they were all elderly people, and they didn't talk English. So that's what made it hard.
Mm-hmm. What did you find interesting in their home and about their behavior, so to speak? Was it different than what you expected?
Well, to me, it just seemed... Well, I hardly realized I was in a foreign country only for the language, you know. You know, I like shopping around.
Mm-hmm. So he brought back all those paintings now by his own?
Mm-hmm.
On your trips back 67 then, and...
Well, he had some of them in his home. He had that one over there.
And the one at the church.
No, he brought that. That was the last one we got.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where he went to church?
Yeah, when he was a boy, but it's changed now, I think.
So he was interesting in to find out who won the Vasaloppet every year?
Oh, yes.
He got newspapers then from
Sweden? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kept sending him magazines and papers.
Mm-hmm. Was he skiing many times then when he was living up here in the wintertime?
No.
Not much?
Mm-hmm.
So he was not prepared for skiing.
No, we didn't even know he had a heart problem.
Mm-hmm. He and Herm used to play tennis every day during the summer. They would play tennis, and then they would go down and swim across the lake and back. And then they would come back to the house here and drink coffee and aquavit. And after lunch, they would play chess.
With cream and sugar in the coffee.
Yeah, with cream and sugar in the
coffee. So he was a strong man then?
Very strong.
Yeah. Very active.
Yeah. And he and Herm were very close friends.
So, and how many years ago did he die? 10 years ago? 13. 13 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So you had only been here a few years then up here?
We'd only been here 10 months when he died.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So he couldn't enjoy too many years here. And, then.
And he just
and
loved it.
And he built his house then?
No, we had a new part out there built on. In this porch here, mm-hmm. But the rest was here.
So how did you get along with the Swedes, Nora?
Oh, I got along fine.
Beat odds.
Mm-hmm. Got along fine with them.
Are they kind of odd compared to other people, or what do you think?
No.
They had their set ideas, though. You're laughing, I mean.
Stubborn.
Stubborn is the right word, perhaps. So you learned to cook then, Swedish dishes, meatballs and...
Oh, yeah.
Lutefisk, too?
Potatis korv.
Potatis korv. Yes, but you had children in your first marriage.
Yeah, one girl.
One girl, yeah. Did you press any other Swedish heritage on her?
No.
She's not interested in that?
No, I don't think so.
No? You never tried? There's just enough with one. But she comes to visit you, though, and...
Once in a while.
No. And you had no children, then, you and Eric?
No.
Do you correspond? No, they're all dead now, his sister, isn't
Yeah.
So there's no one left for you to write to or anything?
Hmm.
It's a broken night.
I hear from his daughter once in a while. And... His son comes down once in a while.
To visit you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are they Swedish?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Bert's getting away from the Swedish, too.
Did he marry the Swedish girl? Or?
No.
What usually happens when a Swede marries now a girl or a boy? What culture takes over? Is the Swedish weaker of the German or Italian or French or Scottish? Is the Swedish the weakest or the stronger? Yeah, you know, in your head, what do you think?
Yeah.
In what respect?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely so.
Why is it that?
I don't know why it is. Well, there isn't anybody that doesn't know that Herm isn't Swedish. He directs the Swedish male chorus. And he's not Swedish. There's no Swede in him.
Who made him Swede?
I did. He had no choice.
That was your mission in life.
Well, listen, when you marry a Swede, you have no choice. Isn't that just about true, Gladys?
Mm-hmm.
You become a Swede whether you want to or not.
Yeah, but the Swedes are usually bashful, though, you know. They don't want to stick
their
nose out.
Where?
Well, they always say the Swedes, they say thank you.
Well, they say thank you, and they dumbocka.
Yeah.
But they may be bashful in Sweden, but they're not bashful over here.
Oh, I see. They open up more
here. Oh, yes. Well, look at all the Swedes up here. And the mixtures that we have right here in the club.
Yeah, how is the mixture here now? They're not all Swedes. In other words,
oh, no. Gladys is
everything.
Lillian Johnson was French. June Jacobson is French.
Skippy is... She's Southern.
Yeah, she's from Florida.
Yeah.
And Lila Wood, the president of the club's wife, is Polish. Harold Ruth's wife is Polish. Helen Olson. You met Helen Olson and spoke to her Sunday.
Yes.
She's Hungarian.
So what happened though when the town club meets once a month there? Will they respect you? You are Swedish.
Yes. Tourists,
but you, for instance, now, Gladys, can you speak up at the town meeting here and make yourself heard? Or will they say that you are not a Swede, we don't want to listen to you? Do they have respect for your...
Oh yeah, I think so.
Expressions?
They've been very nice.
So a Polish lady can stand up at the meeting and say that this is the way it's supposed to be done, and they will listen to her and pay attention.
Yeah.
They will do that.
Yeah.
But Swedish men are very chauvinistic.
They are?
Oh yes.
In what way?
And I've noticed that in growing up out here and everything. The women were always working in the house and the men were sitting outside with their white shirts on and their ties playing cards.
And you had to do the make the food and do the dishes?
Oh yeah. They're still that way. If you're a widow up here, you're allowed to vote at the meetings. But if it's a married couple, it's the husband that votes. Well, even if it's the wife that's Swedish and the husband isn't, the husband still does the voting.
So you have no vote then?
No, I have no vote.
But a non-Swede in your family got a vote?
Yeah.
But you can tell him what to say though.
Oh, I can tell him what to say. I don't know that he's going to do it. But
well, you might lock the door when he comes home from the meeting.
Make him sleep on the floor.
So this the way it is?
Yeah. Now, I have found that Swedish men are very chauvinistic.
You mean it's still like that today?
Oh, they're still like that today.
And you wouldn't dare
ask...
Do you
feel that way?
Well, some of them.
Some.
A few of them around here.
Well, I haven't... I've seen very few of them around here that aren't.
So Edward, he has one vote though.
Yeah, he has one vote. And Gladys has one vote.
That's right, because you're the household member here that carries the stick now.
Yeah.
So maybe it's good though you have a mixture like Polish people and Austrians and French and Scottish and so forth. Do you think that's good? For people to be mixed up like that? Just think if you've been 100% Swedes, all of you here now.
The word is mixed a hoop.
Mixed a hoop. Mixed a hoop, yeah.
That's what my dad used to say. It's mixed a hoop. Yeah.
I think it's good.
They keep that the
blood pressure
up.
Up.
Well, so far it has worked now since 1925. 60 years. That's
60
not bad.
60 years. Pete Benson's son's wife is... Her family came from the Isle of Man. Manx. In England. Manx.
I see.
So...
International mixture.
Yeah, it is an international mixture up here. But still, you cannot join the club unless one is Swedish.
Swedish.
Yeah.
So it doesn't help with Finnish or Danish or
Norwegian. No, it is Swedish.
And this is not going to be changed in the future. As long as you have interest of or be able to sell the house or whatever.
Yeah.
It is. So you have no sales now, houses for sale.
Oh, yes, we have. We have
it's
two.
Empty.
We have two places for sale.
I see.
The one across from us and the one over here on the corner is for sale.
So there are no Swedes in Detroit or Flint, and it's interesting to...
Well, you see, you can't advertise.
You can.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, I see. It got to be recommendations then.
Yeah.
And then it has to go through the board of directors.
Yes. And then the membership has to vote on it. And you have to be sponsored by 3 people.
Mm-hmm. What? Let's see that hole.
Yeah.
So she is one of the better Swedish cooks.
Yes, she sure is.
Oh,
they use her recipe for pancakes and meatballs down in the kitchen when they have their big parties.
Oh,
yeah, they use her recipe. But there isn't anything in Swedish that she can't bake.
But wouldn't it be awkward to be called a Swede to live here and have a French chef? Well, it's not bad. I mean, French is better than Swedish, probably. So you have a French chef up here.
Yeah.
But you make the Swedish meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
The thin pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Who taught you to do that now, Erik, your husband? Well, how did you learn all this? You know, it takes some skill to do
just
that.
Just working around with the ladies, you know.
And you were interested enough to learn mm-hmm. The basics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. So she is the one in charge of it.
Like
at picnics, when do you serve now Swedish food there, smörgåsbord, at the 4th of July?
4th of July and Labor Day.
So you have breakfast in the morning then, or?
Yeah. We have breakfast
like
in
a
the
brunch?
Morning.
Oh,
no, we serve breakfast, we serve pancakes up until 1 o'clock. And then they have dinners at 1 to 5, I believe it is. And then in the evening they have sandwiches.
I see. And the income from that then goes to the town treasurer?
Well, it goes to the club.
To the club, yeah,
yes.
I see. So they prepare the food then. And you are in charge of that now, like that?
No, they use her recipe.
I see. But you have other ladies doing it.
Oh, yes. We all work on it.
You all work on it?
Yeah.
I had charge of the picnics for, I don't know.
Quite a few
how
years.
Many? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you
it's
are in...
It's quite a job.
You are like what you call... I was going to call it... acknowledged then as a Swede.
Yeah,
I guess so.
It goes through the stomach.
Yeah.
Even the stubborn Swedes will understand it. There's no question about it.
She's got a Swedish costume that came from Mora that she wears.
They mm-hmm. gave you that from your sister-in-law's?
Mm-hmm.
I see. And you have that on the picnics then, or?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think it fits anymore.
You eat too much Swedish food, maybe.
Yeah.
Too many pancakes, you don't do it. But you had it on, though.
Oh, yeah, I wore it several times.
Oh. Now, you never had a national costume or a costume from Scotland or France?
No.
Only the Swedish one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. Has there been any now from Dalarna over here visiting you?
No.
Never?
Oh, his sisters. 2 of the sisters.
Came over here?
Uh-huh.
When he was living, your husband?
Mm-hmm.
And Dolly was here.
And they stayed in a few weeks?
Oh, yeah.
In this home?
No, not here. We weren't up here when they came.
Esther
we hadn't.
Was up here.
She was up
both
here,
of them
but
were.
But we didn't stay only weekend or something, didn't we?
Yeah, because I met them both, and Esther spent most of her time over at our house. Remember, she was doing that handwork. Oh yes.
Yeah. Where'd she sleep?
I don't know where she slept. She
I don't
slept
either.
There. Because Tracia spoke. For the Midsummer's picnic down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the contact with Sweden is broken then after this.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Contact with Swedes whether you want it or not.
So you have a... What do you do now in the wintertime? Oh, you are married, Doris, but like you go together for...
Gladys and Herm and Art Berg from next door, and I play pinochle 2 or 3 nights a week.
Oh, I see. And then you are busy with other things during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I crochet.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And you probably read quite a bit during the...
And take a snooze a couple times during the day.
And take the dog out for a walk, Kizzy.
So you are not afraid to be snowed under here for a couple of weeks, like your husband said. So he really liked the snow and the blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
I do too.
Oh, so you're not getting isolated then, or cabin fever, as they call it.
Because there's across the street 2 or 3 times a day.
So there's always somebody that goes into La Prairie and can do some buying whatever you need and picking up the
meal. Gladys has got her own car.
I drive it.
Yeah, but if it's really bad, do you send someone for the mail then?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, a couple of days when it was bad, we didn't go up.
But everybody has to pick up the mail in the La Prairie.
No, some of them get it right down here in a mailbox.
With the mail carrier?
Yeah. He delivers up at the end of the lane, up there on the road, and then whoever's coming in picks up all the mail and brings it down and puts it in that mailbox next to the ticket booth there.
Oh, I see. So they don't have to depend on...
No, you don't have to.
No, that's right.
And I go up about every day just to have something to do.
Mm-hmm. So get the car started, and you know you can get out, and then. So most of you people then have a car, including Ed. He still drives.
Oh yes, including Eddie.
What?
We don't go when Eddie's in town.
No.
Why can't you use him as a mail carrier? I mean, so regularly we have the mail in early in the morning.
We have the newspaper delivered out here.
Oh.
Yeah.
They come from Tom's.
Yeah, the Detroit News we get.
In the morning?
Yep.
Yeah. We have garbage pickup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We live like other human beings.
Yeah.
So when does the life really start to pick up here? And I mean the traffic in about May? April?
Oh, yeah, about May. And they have the yearly meeting in June.
Mm-hmm.
The second week in June, and then everybody comes out for that. But we have a lot of members here that have a home in Florida where they live in the winter, and then they come up and live here during the summer. Esther Lindbergh and Harold Bredenberg and Signe Oster.
Hootlas.
And...
Hootlas, that sounds Finnish.
He is. She's Swedish, but he's Finnish.
So they spend the whole winter in Florida then, some of them?
Yeah, they spend the whole winter.
And then the summer here?
Yeah.
I see.
That's good until you get too old, you know. Then it's hard driving back and forth.
So then they get maybe scared or... on a long drive up.
Well, Seaman and Sven Johnson turned their place over to their grandson, and Ellen Harrington, Florence's daughter, bought hers from Ray and Mimi Weiss. She was Mimi Hedlund. That was her parents' place. But it was just too much for them to go back and forth from here to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived year-round down in Florida and sold the place up here.
End of interview with Gladys Eliasson, La Prairie, Michigan. End of interview. 11th of February, 1986.